We ended the last time on a somber note. After 6 months of work on the all-important for the future of the Blandin Paper Company, Race Barton off-machine trailing blade coater, it was still not working properly. Those who were adjusting and changing and essentially redesigning the equipment were still optimistic and wanted more time. But Blandin and Andrews were seeing only unending waste of paper and expense for wages and parts and other matters and did not have any sense of the progress. Those working on the coater were fearful that the whole project would be canceled and the mill would be back to ground zero in producing the coated paper that was being demanded by the magazine publishers. Then, finally, seemingly overnight, everything fell into place. The machine was turned on, and fine paper that performed beautifully on the coater, perfectly spaced and coordinated rolls, an easy-to-use belt threading system, dikes that held the color, and an unwinder that worked even when making dramatic flying splices, all came together in harmony. Publication paper of a lighter weight than had been coated anywhere streamed from the Race Barton trailing blade coater with an efficiency unmatched in the industry. A sheet that was smooth, lustrous, and a delight to the printer was the reward for those months of effort. Despite tension and frustration, the pioneering work of cooperating personnel from the Blandin Paper Company and the Race Barton Corporation had been successful. Shortly after the trailing blade coater began operation, a papermakers' conference on coating technology drew 618 nationwide participants to Milwaukee. Blandin's chief chemist, Charles Richardson, was among them. The field editor of the Paper Trade Journal wrote, "Although the official conference theme was the manufacturing and processing of coated paper, the unofficial theme appeared to be the trailing blade coater. This new coating method aroused more comment than any other phase of coating in the industry. And to anyone who circulated in the halls and corridors of the hotel or in the smoke-filled hospitality rooms, it was evident that coating men are really interested in this coater. The state-of-the-art coating technology was thoroughly discussed at the conference, and many presentations assessed various coating methods and developments. A panel discussion in which Richardson participated drew capacity attendance. He described the Blandin installation, and incidentally, the Blandin Paper Company never attempted to keep work on the coater secret and had freely allowed visitors from other mills during the 6 months of experimentation. So Richardson was able to describe as he liked, and according to the Paper Trade Journal, his comments were received with a tremendous amount of interest and drew a majority of questions addressed to the panel. In a subsequent issue, the Paper Trade Journal carried a feature article on the hottest topic of the coating conference and provided further details in regard to the operation of the Blandin coater. The journal's summary pointed out that the trailing blade coater required relatively low installation cost, could handle a wide diversity of coating viscosities, and appeared to have a tremendously high quality potential. National attention again focused on the little mill in Grand Rapids. The work on the trailing blade coater of such great significance to the United States and world paper industry established technology that would serve as the basis for the large-scale coating of publication paper. The long-range importance of the work, 30 years after that conference, was reiterated by Rice Burton Corporation Senior Vice President, who said, "Blandin's coating background has served as the basis of tremendous industrial development that continues to show great potential in 1984. So the Blandin reputation for quality production and progressiveness had been fully maintained. The publishers of Look were delighted with the new paper, and Better Homes and Gardens followed suit with large orders. The company may well have had relatively low production, but customers of note were very much aware of the Blandin name. So yes, remarkable indeed that the breakthrough of coating methods so important to the industry would come from the little mill in Grand Rapids. It was the high point in the history of the Blandin Paper Company. Once, quality newsprint was the goal of the mill. Now it was quality ground wood, lightweight coated paper, particularly in demand from magazine publishers and printers. That was new purpose for the Grand Rapids Mill, and that mission continues to the present day, as under the control now of Finnish owners, it remains the assigned role for the Blandin Paper Company. Well, let's turn our attention back to the Blandin Foundation and see what is taking place there. As we have noted, the first major project of the Blandin Foundation, the Blandin Beach on Forest Lake, which is located right in Grand Rapids, was the perfect and very well-received and very well-used accomplishment. During the first years of the Blandin Foundation, the trustees discussed many potential large-scale projects that could benefit Grand Rapids and the surrounding region. They considered such diverse possibilities as the development of the central school building to serve as a civic center for the village, building an indoor swimming pool, possibly in conjunction, that would be with a public auditorium, obtaining the professional services of the landscape architects who designed the state capitol grounds to work on a long-range plan for park development and city beautification, and for establishing a regional dental clinic. The trustees were careful in investigating suggested projects. Their response to one of Blandin's ideas serves as a good example of their work. Blandin mentioned at an annual meeting the possibility of founding a conservatory of music in Grand Rapids. Intrigued, the trustees wished to pursue the idea. At first glance, the project seemed feasible. Checking established, there was no such institution closer to Grand Rapids than Duluth. Chris Shacker, company secretary, was asked to investigate the matter more fully. He conferred with the chairman of the music department at the University of Minnesota, and suddenly the good idea no longer looked so promising. Shacker learned that a conservatory of music implies the training in music to professional perfection and the building of artists of voice and instruments. A large population base was needed just to supply enough talented students to use such a school effectively. Also, to be practical, students would need access to far more in the way of concerts and symphonic and artistic performance than could be found in Grand Rapids. The department chairman further explained that to have a better-than-average conservatory would require at least 5 or 6 instructors of good reputation, along with considerable building and equipment. Obviously, the proposal was not practical for Grand Rapids. Shacker then met with an experienced foundation director in St. Paul, where he discovered that there certainly is an awful lot to learn. But he also realized the Blandin Foundation's potential for being much bigger than ever we had visualized. And he certainly was right on that, and let's return to the Blandin Foundation next time.